Hours of the Fury is brought to you by Red Nation Online. Find us on Twitter at Red Nation Online and at OIT Fury.
This is John from Our Sister Fury, and with me today is everybody!
Hi, it's Kendra.
It's Tim.
It's Ryan.
Man, we really have the same way of saying hi every week. We're such an organized podcast.
That's right. Only the best.
We're more organized than the Fury are on the pitch, that's for sure.
Whoa!
At least defensively speaking, but we'll get to that. So we just drew Indy 11 away. Indy 11 traditionally are our favorite opponent. We usually beat the shit out of them.
But everybody beats the shit out of them.
Except the Cosmos.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
How many points do the Cosmos have right now?
All of them.
Six.
How many points do we have right now?
One.
Okay.
So yeah, let's get straight into it. Let's look at the lineup. Kendra, can you walk us through?
I sure can.
You're so eager today.
I'm in a good mood. Okay, so Pizer, of course, was in net. And then on defense, we had De Jong, Timbo, Alves, and Kyle Porter. Then in the midfield, we had Johnny Steele making his starting lineup debut. De Guzman and James Bailey. And then up front, we had Paolo Jr. and Eden Vered, the new guy. And I can't read that. Gerardo Bruna as well as the striker.
Perfect. So, yeah, that was a pretty nice change to the lineup. I thought that James Bailey was playing from the start. I still wonder why he didn't play in the first game. And Johnny Steele played from the start. Tim, what did you think?
I was a little skeptical at first when I first saw he was starting. But as we'll mention later, I was okay with it by the end.
Ryan, what did you think about the lineup in general?
Starting lineup was pretty good. The changes and the timing of the changes, probably not the best time to make changes.
Yeah. So it started out quite sloppy for both teams. No real chances.
It looked kind of disorganized on the first two corners. Everyone was yelling at each other and getting in position very late, just before the corner's taken.
Yeah, I guess they're still learning the ropes and still getting used to each other, and you can still tell because it's only the second away match of the season. Two more away matches coming up, by the way, before we start playing at home.
World Tour. Yeah, we still have, we have Carolina, of course, which we're going to preview. And then we have Edmonton.
Yep.
So it doesn't get any easier.
No, but I think all of these players are looking forward to start playing at home and not having to travel as much, although Indy isn't exactly that far away from us.
Yeah, but it must be like really hard from the players' perspective, like not to play at home for a whole month and, you know, not hear their home fans and get used to their own stadium and just be on the road all the time.
Especially the new players that haven't settled in yet, who have families and whatnot. I'm thinking of Marcel De Jong, who is bringing his family over, and he hasn't even settled in the city, and he's going to be all away. And, you know, it's going to be nice when the sun starts shining and it's getting, you know, above 15 degrees Celsius, and we can actually play some soccer in this town. But back to the game. So we went into half 0-0, and the Fury looked pretty good. The how would you describe it, Blocksmith, what they did?
I thought the last 10 or so minutes before halftime, they're keeping possession pretty well and keeping Indy from getting a chance, really. And it was just kind of unfortunate they didn't score, but I thought they played the best that they played all year at that point.
And they continued to play really well after the half, and it didn't take long until Ubi was subbed off. Kendra, how did that make you feel?
Fine. He's not on our team anymore, so meh.
Well, he went down with a hamstring injury, and we had always had the suspicion that, you know, he was getting older and, you know, we were fine with him leaving. And even Paul Dalglish had said that he was getting old. And you used to be in love with Ubi, Kendra. And now
I was in love with the way he played. but if he's playing against us, not quite so in love.
Yeah, I guess you hate
him. We'll say that if I didn't previously know who Ubi was, I wouldn't know that he played that game.
That's a good point.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, he looked very average NESL player. Like, he makes nice passes and stuff, but he wasn't stealing the show by any stretch.
Like, I definitely noticed Patterson. I definitely noticed Valvi during the play, but Ubi,
Patterson had something to prove.
Yeah, and he played well. In a way, I'm happy for him because, I mean, it sucks that he's now playing for Indy, but I'm glad that he got over his knee injury and he's back out there playing. And I'm really glad he didn't score against us. He got really close.
Oh, he didn't celebrate when they scored.
Oh, no. Very calm.
Yeah, it hurts a little bit, doesn't it?
Nick, if you still listen.
He doesn't listen to us anymore.
That kind of hurt a little.
But what didn't hurt was our goal that we scored. That was a beauty. The red ended up finishing it off, but it was a beautiful team goal. Do you want to describe it for us, Blocks, what happened there in the 56th minute?
Yeah, Vered took the ball in space and kind of worked it in the middle. Fed it to Bruno, who passed it to Johnny Steele, who's making the overlap, which is a beautiful play. And Johnny Steele made this amazing cross into the box and where Vered got a piece of it into the net.
I think it's even up for NASL Play of the Week, this particular goal. And yeah, you're right, that run that Steele did overlapping Bruna was just, I didn't even know he had it in him. It was so fast. And then the ball that he played in was just inch perfect. Like, the keeper couldn't get to it, the defenders couldn't, and also beautiful finish by our Israeli new guy, Vered.
Yeah, and how many weeks have these guys been together, like Fred and Steele? Like two, three, maybe? Three?
Yeah.
He was a very late signing. He was our last signing.
Mm-hmm. No, our last signing is the Uruguayan.
That is true.
Yeah.
Which we will talk about a bit later.
We can talk about it now.
Spoiler!
Uruguayan American. He's actually American. But.
Yeah, his name very much sounds Spanish. But anyway, after that goal, we would have thought that the Fury going to pile on some goals, but they didn't. They actually collapsed a little bit for some reason.
They did. They collapsed for a while, and then they made some subs and went for another goal.
and then
paid for it.
Yeah, so Dennis Chin came on for Vered. So the thought here is, that it's the 71st minute here. The thought is, we're going for a second goal. We're going to get them on the counter.
Goals. Otto Fury, goals.
A very optimistic substitution. If it was last year and Dos Santos was in charge, we probably would have seen someone like Mauro or a destroyer of some kind come in to manage that 1-0 lead and park the bus and, you know, get there. We're only 20 minutes away from the final whistle. But with this new approach, with this optimistic offensive approach, I guess our gaffer wanted a second goal, and it didn't come, unfortunately.
I understand the Chin substitution wanting a second goal, but I saw nothing about their play pushing up that they wanted a second goal. They sat back.
Mm-hmm.
They just let Indy walk all over them.
Yeah, yeah.
They had no. You could tell. I mean, later on in the game when they were trying to tie it up. When they wanted to try to score a goal, they could gain possession of the ball and move the ball up the field. But after that, after the Fury scored, they had no intent of going for a second goal whatsoever, and it killed them.
Yeah, and picking up on your moving the ball up the field, I've never seen a team in the NESL move a ball up the pitch so fast because they do not run with the ball. They pass. They get the ball, and it's up, and then up, up, up. And so transition, we're a fast team. But at the same time, we have too many people forward, we get burnt, and it's a bit scary.
But back to what Blogsmith was saying for a second, like there really was a disconnect where the team wanted to park the bus and they stopped going forward, and then the coach made an offensive substitution. Like it didn't, that didn't work together at all.
No, yeah.
There was a lack of communication there.
And there were some players that like moved and then nothing happened. And you still gotta mark guys in your own zone. Like that goal, I was talking to Blogsmith before. It was like, I think there was four errors, like on that goal, like where guys weren't marked or like a guy steps back from the ball instead of clearing it.
Yeah, let's go through them for a second. So obviously everyone knows it ended 1-1. Marcel de Jong is out left. He does a stupid foul. They get a free kick.
I think the guy went down really easy.
Really easy.
Yeah.
But it was given. I'm not blaming this goal and Marcel de Jong, far from it. But after the free kick, a long ball goes over the box, sailing to the other side. And somehow, Indy 11 get the opportunity to cross it in. I think it's Don Smart that's dancing around all our defenders, and no one's really preventing him, right, Ryan?
Well, he had like three or four steps with the ball. At the top of the box, and no one shut him down. And there's players there, just no one shut him down.
So I think that's the key mistake, is letting Don Smart cross it in from from 16 yards out.
Letting him have legs that do things against the Fury. That's the problem. Don Smart's always been, if you listen to this podcast, you know we talked about him a lot last year. And he's a player that we worry about, and he lives up to his name.
Absolutely. And then someone gets ahead on it, and Pizer actually saves the ball, and then nobody clears it. It's like in our box for an eternity, and like you just know this goal is coming. And I actually forgot who smashed it in the end, Bloggy?
Vukovic?
80-something.
Vukovic.
A guy with way too high a number for a soccer player.
and it was just a good concrete example of how our defense still needs a lot of work. Like they still have yet to come together in the back there. It's just sad that the goal happened so late in the game. Of course, great for Indy, but we're in Ottawa Fury podcast, so for us it really freaking sucked. Because we should have left Indianapolis with 3 points.
Yeah, it was totally depressing. Because after the Fury goal, it was just a matter of just pray that Indy don't score, because they had so many chances. I mean, the Fury have now conceded 3 goals this year. All 3 have been in the box with players, with defenders surrounding them.
They're clustered, yeah. Like, all 3 goals. So just a mess.
And also, in the few minutes that were left, plus extra time, or additional time, sorry, the Fury almost scored again. Like, it was so annoying that, you know, the coach wanted to go for the second, but the team didn't. They wanted to sit back and park the bus. So you need to, you know, there needs to be some communication that happens where either you park the bus collectively or you go for the second collectively. You can't try to do both at the same time. And I think that's what happened.
Yeah, we're all things to all people. We'll see. We can't play that way this upcoming game against Carolina. We'll get destroyed. They're a very strong team.
Like, it was nice to see, like, the first half and before the goal, how well they played. And that's what I want to see from this team. And if they play like that, then they can do really well. But on the other hand, the way they played after they conceded was the worst they played all year. And they need to fix whatever was wrong with that.
Will that come in time? Will they gel better?
Well, let's take us back to the spring season of last year. It was the same thing, right? We always start really slow.
Was it this messy, though? Like, last season, is like, they always looked like they didn't get the results, but they're always in control. You know what I mean? Like, they had bad luck and bad things happen. There was some sloppy moments, but this looks like there's just no control. Like, it doesn't look like last year.
The problem with the NASL is you can't really start slow in the spring season, because then you get so far behind. Like, the spring season is so short. Like, that's a huge disadvantage if you can't.
Oh, we're not
seal the deal.
We're not winning the spring anything. We got 1 point out of 6, and New York has 6 out of 6. Carolina has 6 out of 6.
No, I think Ryan and I sort of discussed this earlier. If we're better than Indy, better than Jacksonville, I'm hoping better than Edmonton, we're doing good.
We're not better.
Don't say that on the podcast, Ryan. You're giving them food. You're giving them rabbits carrots.
No, it's just that I think I've seen every team in this league this year except for Tampa, because I just don't want to see Tampa.
Because they got Heinemann.
Who? Oh, he's look at all the goals he's scoring. Yeah. I've seen every team play, and yeah, I think you hit it on the head. It's Indy, Jacksonville, and Ottawa are the ones that need to get organized quick.
Yeah, and it's a sprint. That spring season, like, we're almost, like, a quarter through it now. Like, it's...
But I think it's fixable. I mean, we were able to fix the problems we had in the New York game.
That's true.
And now there's someone else to fix. And
yeah, fixed very quickly, too.
It's improved slightly, so hopefully...
But are they not scouting the teams better? Or like?
It's also so much is new. Like, it's so much turnover. It's all away games, so much travel. We need to sort of cut them some slack and give them more time, and the coach as well.
Yeah, well, but like, that's not just one person, right? Like, there's a whole team of people who scout and do the research, and you know. So I don't know. It's just like we weren't prepared for that.
I just feel like at this stage we need to look at ourselves more than scout other teams. Like, they're still working on themselves to figure out how to play at this level. Like, in preseason games, we've only played against Indy, and by the way, beat them 3-0, which really doesn't matter when you tie them 1-1 in the NASL. But they need to get used to this level. They need to get used to playing together, and that's going to take a little bit more time than we have. So
yeah.
The spring season, to me, it's already a write-off.
Well, but you got to get those points, because if you want the third or fourth spot kind of thing.
Exactly.
In the fall, so...
Anyway, Kendra, do you have anything to add to this?
Not really. I think you guys both covered it all.
All right, so then let's take a break. And after that, we'll talk about the other NASL games and some NASL news, some Fury news, the usual stuff.
Congrats if you're listening to us on SoundCloud and Stitcher. You rock.
And we're back. It is now time to take a look at the scores around the league for last week. Ryan, you want to start us off?
My favorite team, the Ottawa Fury. Oh, no. Okay, so let's go first with Miami and Tampa Bay. I didn't watch this game, but it was a 1-1 draw. Guess who scored for Tampa Bay?
Tommy Heinemann.
No.
No.
That's what do you do?
No.
Oh, Stefanovic?
He's missing a couple of vowels, isn't he?
Yeah.
Zivtinich.
He scored early on in the 17th. Of course, Hertzoff scored for Tampa.
Ristoff.
Yeah, and Mason Trafford, from a Canucks abroad perspective, and of course, ex-Ottawa Fury player, he played for 90 minutes as center back.
So did Heinemann. Did Trafford tackle Heinemann?
I don't know.
Ooh,
I didn't watch this game either.
That.
But
I... Oh, I thought their hair got entangled.
Braided together.
And they became one.
Oh.
They're feeding Heinemann the wrong type of hot dogs.
What? Who else plays for Tampa? Any news on Freddie Adu?
I don't know why he's not in the lineup. And I've asked around, and like no one seems to be able to answer this question.
Hmm. So I did watch the highlights of this game. Really... Really good game, highlight-wise. Attendance was over 10,000, home opener. And they had some singer at halftime, a Latin American singer that a lot of younger teenagers like, I guess.
Talking about using sex as a selling point, in Miami FC had a very interesting marketing campaign, to say the least.
I heard about this.
It caused
yeah.
some controversy. Blocksmith, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I guess they tweeted some... college-age girls and come join us at the game, which kind of blew up. I guess I can understand it from a certain point, but again, the New York Cosmos have actual cheerleaders, and no one says anything about that. So
I think the issue for me is just the way it was advertised. Like, they actually used the word babes, which was like, wow. It said, come join these babes. And then it had that emoji with the heart eyes or whatever. And I think that for me, it's just like, the good teams will use their team and their soccer to bring people into the stadium and not, you know, models dressed up in a t-shirt. And I just feel like sometimes women fans get treated like some sort of commodity or something like that, a way to manipulate people to come to the games or something like that. I think it probably was just honestly one of those things that nobody really thought through and kind of sent out a tweet. And
didn't this happen in Orlando last season? They had like some sort of like advert where they're like,
oh, it was ladies, buy your man a jersey for Valentine's Day or something like
right,
that.
Right, yeah.
And also, we do have Orlando to remember, City. Like, we're in Ottawa. Like, we're yeah. in the political correctness bubble. They're down there in Miami where, you yeah. know, there are babes in bikinis rollerblading around.
Yeah, Johnny Steele reminded us.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess, would you, you know, take a picture of a male model with, like, a six-pack and slick-back hair perfectly, you know, coiffed or whatever and say, come on, join these studs on Sunday? Like, I don't know. Would you do that?
Blogsmith would.
Yeah, it depends.
I'll be there, Harvey.
Sweet. I think it depends on the market you're going for. Well, in Canada, that's not going to fly.
Especially not in the nation's capital.
And, no, and it wouldn't fly, like, that doesn't fly for me. I hate the whole idea of cheerleaders, the whole, I care about the sport, be it men or women. That's, I just want to see good soccer. But in Florida, I don't know. Like, I'm not making excuses for them, but it's a different culture. And who
it
are we?
It reminded me of a different era. Like, it reminded me of NASL rock and roll, like in the 70s and 80s. Like, it's in the 21st century, like, it rubs me the wrong way, just like it does Kendra. Like, it's just, you know, there are other ways, and we're supposed to be equal, and that is not what we want to see.
Damn.
Like, I understand the comment, and it does look bad for him, but, I mean, watch commercials for, you know, 20 minutes.
Like a
beer commercial, and I think it's sex sells, everyone knows that. It's just kind of the way they did it was a little more upfront, a little more honest.
But if you understand the market for football in North America, that it sex doesn't sell for those people, right? Like, it's huge backlash to that. It's you're not selling Miller Lite. You're selling like football to a certain audience, a certain young aware audience in North America. Like, you need like ironic beards and like stout and bicycles that pedal both ways. None of this bikini babe stuff.
Yeah, man, it's hipster mania right now. It's too normcore what they're
yes.
doing.
Yes, there you go, John.
But but seriously speaking, like, everyone was paying attention because Miami's first home game, the whole league's watching them. They're on probably where I'm Bean TV, I would imagine, right? That game. Yeah, you know, you probably need to craft your overall image more carefully.
And it's probably something Edmonton should try because their attendance is still pretty woeful.
Yeah, 2,731.
It's better than Fort Lauderdale's.
Yeah, because they're all going to Miami now.
Oh, okay.
But, that game was Lance Lang's return to Minnesota. Steven Sander wrote an article about that Lang tried not to cry and it was all very emotional for everybody. But in the end, Minnesota took the win, 2-0 away. Did you watch this game, Ryan?
Yeah, I did. I thought Edmonton looked actually quite good besides going down, I think it was 2-0 final. Edmonton's still solid in the back. There was some really bad defensive errors, but there was only like one error on the play that cost them a goal kind of thing, not four errors. And they still hold the ball and move the ball very well, and they're still very dangerous. But Minnesota, of course, is the better team.
So how do the Canadians look, in particular Ledgerwood?
Ledgerwood's feisty. He hasn't slowed down at all that way. You can tell he's a cut above the average player in the league.
So, but overall, you'd say that Edmonton looks pretty strong, even though they lost by that scoreline?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they haven't changed that much. Like, they're Edmonton without Lance Lang, and that's pretty much what Edmonton was last year anyway. Lance Lang was gone so often.
Yeah, international from Jamaica.
Yeah, so.
Interesting to note that 2015 MVP Stefano Pino started his second game for Minnesota on the bench.
Yeah, they really just bought the best players and weakened everybody else. That was their strategy, I guess.
Well, that's their big advantage over everyone is their billionaire owner, right? Mm. Everyone's like, oh, they're ramping up for MLS. No, half these guys won't be in MLS.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see if that's the case. One team that will never be in the MLS is going to be the New York Cosmos. That's for sure. And they played at home against Jacksonville Armada, and they beat them 2-0.
Surprise.
Yeah. When the Cosmos play at home against one of the weakest teams in the league, this is the kind of score you probably would have predicted it being higher than 2-0. How did Richie Ryan play? No one knows, right? Because no one watched the game, probably.
There was a mention that he went down injured, but he played the rest of the game, so...
I watched the first 45. What was really interesting was no crowd. Yeah. Cosmos have had two really bad crowds.
Cold.
Yeah. Also, maybe that horrible stadium. No. But, yeah, like 3,600 at this game. So a little bit of a worry, but it is on a Sunday night, and it's hard to get to that stadium, and it's out there. So Sunday night, 6 p.m. start. Yeah. I'll give them that excuse, but Miami has the highest attendance so far, so.
And for, you know, last year's league champions, you would think that their support would be a little bit higher than that.
Yeah, it's an interesting market for sure. They have all the advantages, but they play in this piece of junk and no one wants to go to it. But Arrieta scored for him. He's that Venezuelan guy that seems to have great chemistry with, Mönchengladbach legend, help me out. La Liga legend scored against us. Juan Naranjo. And then, of course, Moffat also scored for the Cosmos.
Yeah, he scored against us and Jacksonville.
Yeah. So they're going to be a tough team to stop. And they're in first place, just like last week. And we're missing one game, and that is Rayo OKC against the Carolina Railhawks. And that was the barn burner of the weekend.
That's right. There were 5 goals in this game. So if you were hungry for goals, you could just go back and watch this one.
No, you watch the Ottawa Fury if you're hungry for goals.
Right. Okay. Anyway. So.
It's exciting.
Rail played again at home. Attendance was again quite high. 5,800 people in that stadium. They started off really strong, scored 2 goals. And it looked like they were kind of going for the win. But Carolina Railhawks, being a strong team this year, they're usually pretty strong, but came back and won the game, took the game away from them.
96th minute or 97th minute?
Mm-hmm.
They scored. Exciting ending.
Ali Hassan scored. Yeah. Ex-Ottawa Fury player.
Wasn't it Blogsmith last year that said Ali Hassan had the highest goal-to-minute ratio or minute-to-goal ratio?
He at least had a higher one than Tommy Heinemann, that's for sure.
He can't not score. Every game he plays, he scores. It's crazy.
Huh.
And Drew Becky also played a crucial role. He played 90 minutes. I saw this game, and I had my Canucks Abroad hat on, and I saw him do a smart tactical foul towards the end where he got a yellow. Although he did look a little bit out of position for one of the Rayo goals.
I think that goal was offside, though.
Yeah, it's tough to tell. They never really showed it properly. So either he was out of position or he made the game onside or it was a wrong call for sure. But yeah, that brings us to the table. The table doesn't look good for us, but they were only 2 games in. So
yeah, we're sitting in 10th. With 1 point after 2 games. We're ahead of Jacksonville, who's only played 1 game and lost to the Cosmos 2-0. So.
Yeah, but if you look at this table, there's like 4 teams that only have 1 point.
Is there anything that surprises you about this table?
Carolina, I would say. But it's not a huge surprise.
We kind of talked at our season preview show that Carolina would be kind of like the dark horse, right?
I think Minnesota...
Yeah, that's a surprise.
Minnesota
losing the first week.
I think Indy 11 is going to drop down. They're mid-table now. They're in sixth. They have 2 points out of their first two games. Like, they're going to be, you know, going down towards the bottom end, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I think hopefully Fort Lauderdale, for their sake, will be more of a fourth to fifth kind of team, but
it doesn't seem to have much of an effect on attendance anyway. Like, when they make the playoffs, it doesn't seem to really go up in Fort Lauderdale that much.
No, there's not much change. And, you know, adding a second team in the area, I don't know if it hurts or helps. There's a lot of argument that it will help.
So that rivalry thing, yeah. It's going to be an interesting one to monitor, that's for sure.
I think when you're getting attendances, like any sport that's 10,000 or under, it probably helps.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have like the Green Bay Packers or something, and then you move a team, like another team close by, yeah, then that will hurt. So.
For sure. Blocksmiths, what are some other news and rumors around the league?
Well, the Jacksonville Armada signed an international, a Trinidad and Tobago international.
Is this their 15th international?
Kevin George, yeah, no kidding. Not much, don't really know much about him. I most recently played with the Columbus of the MLS.
Cool, and Railhawk Austin Dalus was named NASL Player of the Week. He scored quite the beauty. I think it was outside foot, basically just outside of the box, slops the keeper, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was a nice goal, and he's two games, two goals, and so he's on track for like a 30-some goal season. But he won't, because he's only scored 7 career goals, but he's having a good 2 weeks.
Another little rumor, the NASL commissioner, Bill Peterson, said this, or last week, sorry, that in 2017, possibly, but 2018 is likely for another West Coast expansion team.
So in addition to the San Francisco Deltas, we'll likely have another one.
Ooh, Reno, Las Vegas, San Diego.
That's been rumored for so long, Las Vegas, a team in Las Vegas. Everyone
yeah.
wants one.
Yeah, we had one in NASL 1.0, and it was a total disaster. Like, it was so hot, and like,
yeah,
the players were just out partying all the time. The away players would just go out and party. Like, it was just a like, from a playing perspective, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, but people making NASL money nowadays don't really have that luxury of doing.
Yeah, it's not like that. Yeah. And Las Vegas now is a different city than it was even 15 years ago. It's one of the fastest growing cities in the U.S. So.
I know that Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf have a home there.
Let's invite them to a game.
Maybe Celine Dion will check out a game.
Well, Steffi Graf is actually from my hometown, and Boris Becker is only a couple minutes away. So,
wow, Irak Vazin is from my hometown, if you want to look that up.
All right, let's move on.
We already talked about Ledgerwood. Enough of your hometown.
Okay.
Let's talk Ottawa Fury news. We sort of alluded to the fact that we signed Brian Oliveira, the Uruguayan / American born / from Florida. Blocksmith, is there anything else you can tell us about him?
Yeah, his dad played for the old NASL, played for the Rowdies back in the old 80s. And that's all I know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he fits into the squad. Other players that haven't rejoined the squad are, I guess, Obazi, right? He's not there yet.
No, Obazi is currently playing for Baltimore, and they're in the final. They played their first leg. They won 7-4 against Mexican Sonora teams, and they will play the final leg on Friday. So as of Saturday, he'll be back in Ottawa, hopefully, training with the team. So, I would assume he will not play on Saturday, but.
So, we're talking about the Major Indoor Soccer League.
Yes.
Yeah, the MASL, not.
Okay, and they play a two-legged final.
Yep.
Okay, and then we get them back.
Yep.
Okay, who else played in that indoor soccer league? It was a guy
Donatelli,
yeah, and Dantas, and the guy that played on Scorpions, Hasley.
No, Hasley played indoor.
He played for Las Vegas.
That's right. Yes.
Speaking of Las Vegas, yeah.
Where is Hasley now?
That's what I was just going to ask you guys. If anyone listening out there knows where Hasley is, or Eric, if you're listening, how you doing? maybe tweet us at OIT Fury and let us know what's going on with Eric Hasley.
Yeah.
We could also use Google.
We could, this is more fun.
This is more fun. What's also going to be a lot of fun is that new kit that the Ottawa Fury are releasing. On 420.
420.
So go down to Lansdowne.
Well played. Well played, Fury. Well played.
The store, what time does the store open? 10 a.m.?
Yeah, sure.
So get your Fury gear and then run down Bank Street. And don't they do something on Parliament Hill on April 20th?
There's some sort of, you know,
get together. Mm-hmm. Go check that out.
I'm going to wear my De Guzman jersey, man.
Oh, yeah, because he's Jamaican, according to our local broadcasters.
Make sure you bring snacks, and you'll make a lot of friends.
This reminds me of when I was in the high school soccer team, and then I wanted to join the rugby team. But I noticed it was, like, a little too harsh of a sport for me. I always got, like, cleats in my face. And so I came up with an excuse, and I said to my Jamaican coach, I think I'm allergic to the spring grass, because I played soccer on the fall grass. So you know what my Jamaican soccer coach's response to me was? Stop smoking it then!
Wow. Wow, moving on. Moving on. What's next, guys?
Training jackets?
I don't know where we are.
The listener is actually Carson, who's 613 at... What is his freaking Twitter handle, Blocksmith?
Yeah, it seems to be weird when you copy and paste it. I don't know why. It always screws up.
So Carson had a question or a comment?
Yeah, he wants to know when the training jackets are available.
Oh, yeah, training jackets.
Are you in charge of training jackets, John?
Get on this.
I have.
The answer is no.
Never? The Admiral training jackets or the Adidas training jackets?
We just want training jackets now.
Yeah. Well, when the Fury changed over to Adidas, they said that there would be more merchandise and a lot more variety of merchandise available. We've yet to see that. It's not up on their site, just the kits, and they're not even ready yet. So
are you guys getting the jerseys?
I'm buying one for sure.
Of course.
Yeah. Have you decided which one, or are you just gonna get both?
I don't know. I feel like the longer I look at the red jersey, the more I like it. So I'm kind of like 50-50.
Okay. Bloggy?
I think I'm sold on the white, but I'm starting to like the red a lot more.
Okay, and Ryan?
I like the white, but I'm a messy eater, so.
Yeah, that's so the thing. Like, with my German national team jerseys, the white ones, like, I can never wear them. Because, you know, when you eat your sausages and the mustard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a Canada jersey that's white, and it's a victim of a ketchup crime. And I also have a Rosenberg jersey that's the same thing. It's food on it, so.
But I also like the red one better, so I think that's the one I'm going to go with, and I already have decided I'm going to put Bailey on it, just because my girlfriend's name is Bailey. So.
Aww.
See? Kendra appreciates it.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, okay, Sigmund Freud.
So, it looks like they're the same price. They're $79, which is a surprise. I thought they'd be $100 like other Adidas jerseys. The same price as last year.
Well, they want to sell a few of them. Yeah. $100 would have been tough for a lot of us.
True. And more news.
It's like a sad poor pause.
Things cost money.
Things cost money.
Okay, so to end the Ottawa Fury news, Brett Cole is a nominee for NHL Player of the Week, so if it's still voting time, go vote for it. And Vered was also named to the NHL Team of the Week, and that's the first for the Fury.
Fury's first goal of the season, right? What was the Ottawa Sun headline?
Ottawa Fury finally score.
Finally! In their second game of the season, finally!
Finally they scored!
Oh my god. No.
They forgot the 5-game stretch where they didn't score at all last game.
Right. Or the 13 goals they scored in the preseason or whatever, but yeah.
Martin Burt has written in and wanted a couple of questions answered.
No, Martin, no.
He said that he found Bruna quite impressive and wasn't so impressed by Steele. And he's not sure if Steele's better than Mauro.
Never.
And he needs to see more of Vered, but he does think he looks promising, and so does Bailey. And Timbo needs to be better at center back than left back.
Oh no, I think he was saying that Timbo is better at center back than left back.
Isn't that what I just said?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, yeah. Martin Burt meant that Timbo is better at center back than left back. And finally, he has a question for all of us. How sad are you that you won't see any other Fury game on Bein Sports until July?
So, John, you saw the game on Bein Sports.
It was beautiful.
We saw it on Rogers, and it wasn't beautiful, but I've watched games on Bein Sports, and it's so well done.
No, it was an absolute beautiful moment of my life. Like, I don't want to exaggerate, like, but it actually, seeing my Ottawa Fury, the team, my local team that I go to, like, week in, week out.
Professionally done,
with the same commentators that normally do La Liga matches or other professional games. It felt like a new chapter had opened. Like, that's what it felt like. I was actually watching it on my own because I wanted to stay home, not go to the viewing party, and watch it on Bein TV. But I really wish that I could have shared that moment with others. And I'm glad Martin Burt brought it up. Bein TV actually released all the different games that they're going to have, and it's not going to be until July that Ottawa Fury will have a game on it, and it's going to be an away game.
They have at least a game a week, right?
They will always have a game a week, but our Fury aren't on there very much. It's mostly the Florida teams, as they are Florida-based.
Yeah. Huh. And One World Sports is doing their game a week, mostly Cosmos games. But they do have non-Cosmos games.
Yeah, it's not geo-blocked. I've tried it out, so you can go on the NASL.com website and click on Canadian Viewer, and that will give you all the different streams for the games.
Hmm. And another thing I noticed is that Edmonton's not on City TV this year. They just have a stream, apparently. Yeah.
It's too bad.
It is too bad because City TV is great. A team that's big market, too, like probably a million and a half that get City TV Edmonton.
Yeah, and it's available nationally. We could get it here with certain TV packages and so on.
Yeah, so it's too bad about that.
What would be too bad if we would lose against the Carolina Railhawks? So before we get into that preview, we should take a small break, and then we'll get back and discuss that.
We can also be found on Midfield Press, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud.
So the Carolina Flight are going to be playing against the Ottawa Fury. Or are they still called the... What are they called?
Railhawks.
Whatever that is.
Oh, right. Look it up on Urban Dictionary. Please do.
Who cares? Come on, let's move on from jokes from 2 years ago. They're a serious soccer...
Stop beating the dead Railhawk.
they're a serious soccer club, you guys. They're the only team in the NASL that's gone anywhere in the U.S. Open Cup. They always beat the LA Galaxy for some reason, so...
It's very tough to play in Carolina, and they're in form. They have been playing well, so I don't expect to get any points there. Anything more than a tie is going to be huge.
I think I predicted they'd be fourth. Now I'm thinking they might be higher overall, based on two games of watching them. But no, they're a solid-looking team, and they're playing very, very well.
Locksmith, what do we have to watch out for?
Well, kind of returning is their keeper, Akira Fitzgerald. He's like way short, and we keep making fun of that year after year as well.
Only you do.
So he split time last year with Carolina and New York City FC. So he's back full time. Ty Cipollone is always a threat, probably one of the better players in the league. And Brian Shriver, the 2013 NASL Golden Boot winner, is always tough to play against. Carolina, like Indy, we just played a 4-2-3-1 formation. And, of course, Austin Deleuze, Player of the Year, has 3 goals already. He's someone to watch out.
But they will be without Simon Mensing, right? I think he's out for a 2-game suspension because of a red card that he received versus Minnesota. So that's one... ray of hope that we have. And how do we stack against them, Kendra?
Well, last season, we had two wins and one loss against them. And overall, we've had three wins, two losses, and one draw. So it's not really that bad. We also had quite a large win over the Railhawks. It was 4-0 in the first season, which was at Carlton Field before we had our brand new shiny stadium. So I think we're kind of evenly matched.
Yeah, and Fury have one win, two losses at Carolina. So we have won in their, what's the English word for Burg?
Their fortress.
Yes.
I just like to let everyone know I speak German now. Carolina always wins at home. Weren't they the ones that win like 18 games at home undefeated?
It's that water fountain. It's magical.
Yeah, it's water fountain. It's their name. It's all those things. This is a team that's not going to lose at home, probably. And it's been how many years now? So to go in and to steal a point, like John said earlier, would be quite the accomplishment.
Yeah, and so we're hoping that we'll get that. But, you know, the way we play, if we really try to score there, we might concede a lot of goals. So I'm worried for this one. Kendra, how do you feel about this particular game?
I am a little worried about it, but I think because we did fix some of the problems in defense, like they've been pretty proactive with fixing problems, I think, and we do seem to be improving. I'm not scared.
What about you, Blocksmith?
I think if we can play how we played before we scored that goal in Indy, we're okay, but if we don't, I think against a much tougher opponent, Carolina, we're gonna struggle.
I think if we play anything like we did against Indy, we're gonna get destroyed. No, it's like it looks like they're playing kids soccer out there. It was like they watch the Indy Ottawa game, and then you watch like Rayo and Carolina. It's like it didn't look like the same league. Like
we just need to be organized defensively, and yeah. We'll see what our coach comes up with. I like the lineup we started with last time. I'm hoping for a similar lineup, maybe Mauro in there instead of another midfielder in there that was playing. And I like De Guzman and Bailey to start.
Those two are great. And Bruna's a player that would benefit from a style probably holding the ball a little more. Yeah. And making some plays.
I thought that Bruna was shooting it a little bit much.
A little early, yeah.
Sometimes when he doesn't have an option, he doesn't pass it off. He just shoots it from all angles. And often they're not very good shots. There was another incident that we forgot to mention in our opening section. That was the Nicky Patterson versus Pizer incident. Kendra, can you sum that up for us? What happened there?
Well, Pizer was doing his famous time-wasting tactics at the end of the first half, I believe.
Yeah, it wasn't even that much of a time waste. I think he was just a little bit slow to pick up the ball.
And Nicky Patterson came over and gave him a little shove, pushed him over.
Knocked him right over. Wouldn't that be a card normally?
It could be yellow, but I think that Pizer has this reputation of being like a keeper that likes to over-exaggerate these kind of things and waste time. He's full of these shenanigans. So the refs know that.
So it's okay to walk up to a keeper and push him over?
No. Oh, okay. No, I think it should have been a yellow. It should have been yellow, but sometimes when Pizer oversells these things, it doesn't actually help us. Sometimes it makes...
Yeah, or it makes the add extra minute when there wasn't a minute or something.
But let's try to stay positive here. We do have a point. We're not in last, and we haven't played Jacksonville yet. So.
Yeah, and Jacksonville's only played one game. We've played two. So, yeah, it should be a good game. Is the game on TV besides Rogers here?
I know it's not on Bean TV. I don't think that One World Sports would be showing it. So I would imagine that your best bet is either go online on OttawaFuryFC.com and click on Watch Now, or on NASL.com. Or if you have Rogers 22, you can watch it there. And there will be viewing parties. Where are the Bytown boys watching?
They usually watch at Georgetown. That's I know they watched the first game there, so maybe check. That's 7:30 is the game time, so maybe pop in. And they sometimes watch in the back room, so you might want to stick your head in the back room and see if they're there if you don't see anyone.
Absolutely. And the Stony Monday Riot, where are they?
Centertown Donaire on Bronson. And right when you walk in, you'll see everyone. There's usually a good crowd there a half hour before. So.
And the Fury Ultras?
They're watching from home.
Are they still around?
I don't know. Why are you asking me?
I don't know. I'm just curious because we haven't had a home game yet and, you know, we haven't heard from them in a while.
Yeah, I guess you'll find out in the home game.
Yeah, we all will. And that pretty much means we're at the end of this podcast. We can be found on Twitter at OITFury. We have a Facebook group. We can also be contacted via email. Ryan, what's our email address?
Ours is furypodcast@gmail.com.
And Bloggy, what time is it? It's time to say...
Toodles.
So let's make it a wrap.
What, we're having rap?
Donaire raps.
Well, it's time for bloggers to say...
Toodles.
And where can we be found?
Eating raps. This is so disorganized.
Doesn't matter, it's funny.
This is like our defense.
What?